Thank you very much, Lynn, for reading that gospel passage for us powerfully. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that in the written word and through the spoken word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may each of us encounter the living word, who is our risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, the story is told that at a church fundraising service, a lady did attend the service, but she was very tired that Sunday. So she came to the fundraising service, and during the service, she dozed off a little bit. She fell asleep. And so the pastor went on with the appeal for people to give to the work of God. He then announced to the congregation that all those who want to give £2,000, please stand up. And it was at that exact moment that the lady woke up. She stood up. She turned around. She was the only one standing. And the whole congregation gave her a round of applause. To our surprise, the pastor then said, "Does anybody else want to give £2,000? Her face dropped in embarrassment. The moral of the story is that you should always hear the full story before you act or before you react. Always learn to get the full story of what's going on before you take action. And that's what exactly the Pharisees did here. And we must give them credit for that. They wanted to know the full story about something that Jesus did. And in response to them, we have our gospel passage for today, where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." More on that story later. Just to give you a snip view of what goes on in the manse, at home during our rest time, we watch a lot of wildlife TV on National Geographic. In those documentaries, you cannot help but to notice that the predators are usually not very far off from their prey. Where the antelope graze in the grass, a pride of lions are usually not far off. Where the sheep are resting, usually a pack of wolves often are in an ambush, just ready to attack the sheep. The only hope these gentle sheep have of protection against this deadly predator is a vigilant, strong, attentive, caring, loving, good shepherd. And you and I know that Jesus often referred to us Christians as gentle sheep. There are times when we, the sheep of his pastures, we are anxious, we are fearful of the wolves and the lions and the predators in this jungle of life. But today's scripture, today's passage assures us that Jesus is not just our shepherd, that Jesus is our good shepherd who, like a mother hen, protects, provides, guides us on this journey of life. When a mother hen scents a hawk in the sky, in the air, she will actually sense it through their shadows on the ground. What she does, she communicates to the chicks to run quickly to her to hide. And she covers all the chicks under her wings of protection. Yet still she is exposed to danger, but she is there in readiness to defend the chicks. Jesus is our good shepherd. Ready all the time to defend us. Ready all the time to be there for us. The psalmist in Psalm 23 describes his relationship with God with these words. He said, I quote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in today's gospel passage in John chapter 10, from verse 11 to verse 18, we have a double reassurance this morning. Jesus responded to his accusers, these Pharisees, with these words, "I am the good shepherd." To understand the context of this passage in which Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, we need to go back to John chapter 9. In chapter 9 of John's gospel, John tells us that on the Sabbath day, remember, it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus used dust from which we all came from and to which we'll all return in death. Jesus used the dust to heal a man who was born blind. News about the miraculous healing went viral, as the young people would say today. My daughter in particular, everything, it's gone viral. News about this miracle went viral, and the Pharisees got a wind of it. And when they had a wind of it, they mounted a very complex investigation so that they will find a way to charge Jesus of wrongdoing. They confronted the man who was healed, the blind man, to tell them about what went on in the synagogue, what happened. His testimony is amazing. This story, I read it over and over and over all the time. Absolutely brilliant story. His testimony was amazing. He said to them, "The man Jesus put mud in my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool of Siloam to have a wash, and I went there, and I washed, and now I see." They were not satisfied with that response. They brought his parents in. They said to the parent, "Tell us, is this your son? Was he born blind? How come he now see?" And the parent, not wanting to get into trouble with the authorities in the synagogue, they were a bit timid, shaken, because anyone who acknowledged Jesus Christ in the synagogue will be kicked out. So you know what they said, the parent? "Yes, he's our son. Yes, he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. We have no idea. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." They didn't want to get into trouble. They chickened out. And then they came back to the man. "Tell us. Give glory to God. Tell the truth. This man is a sinner. Tell us what happened. You can be our star witness in court against him. You can testify against him." And the man looked at them all and said, "Whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know is that I was blind, but now I can." Let's say that louder. "But now I can." The investigation went nowhere. So probably what they did, they kicked him out of the synagogue. They kicked his parents out of the synagogue. "I was blind, but now I can see." What a powerful testimony. With no little evidence for where to go next with the case, with the wrongdoing for Jesus. The Pharisees themselves now came to Jesus, and they now ask him towards the end of chapter 9, "Tell us what happened in the synagogue." And in chapter 10, that's where Jesus gave this beautiful monologue about his loving and caring nature. He said, "I am the good shepherd." And in those five seemingly simple words, Jesus absolutely proclaimed that he is God and that he has come to give sight to the blind. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to comfort those who mourn. He has come to bring good news to the poor. He has come to bring hope for the hopeless in our community. If you are here this morning feeling hopeless about any situation in your home, in your workplace, in your life, in your health, in your family, wherever hopelessness is coming from this morning, if you are here, I challenge you to say you are in the right place at Methodist Central Hall, Westminster, where we have a God that we can put all our hopelessness into his hands in prayer. When we do that, we hear the words of Jesus speaking to us this morning, saying, "Trust me, my daughter. Trust me, my son. I am the good shepherd, and I am here to make all things new." Unlike the corrupt hired hands that Jesus mentioned in that monologue, who runs away in the face of danger. Jesus stands up for the weak and the vulnerable. Unlike the selfish hired hands that feeds themselves and fatten themselves, Jesus feeds the sheep. Unlike the hired hands that Jesus spoke about in that monologue, which is the description of those people who comes to us as wolves bought in sheep clothing, those people who come to us when milk and honey is flowing in our lives, but when it dries up, they disappear. Those people who smile to us in the public, but behind you, they smear you. Unlike these hired hands, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gave his life for us. He laid his life down on Good Friday. He picked it up again. When? On Easter Sunday. He laid it down, but he picked it up again. And so, friends, I encourage you this morning that in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we are safe. In the presence of the Good Shepherd, we are secured. Our responsive reading this morning from Psalm 23 shows us how he provides, how he guides, how he leads the sheep into green pastures beside still waters, how he prepares a table before them, how he restores our weary souls and comforts us in difficult times. He is a loving shepherd who knows his sheep, and he declares in that monologue that his sheep also, they know him. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And we are called to be imitators of Christ. So my question to you this morning is, how can we imitate Jesus by being the Good Shepherd of our time? We've all been through times when we needed people to be there with us, there for us. People that we could lean on for support. People who would hold the lamp up for us in the dark and shepherd us into the light. Think of those guardian angels in human flesh that have been there for you. That person who always sets a table of welcome and hospitality before you. That individual who always feeds and nourishes your soul with the right words and the right gestures. That person who texts you in the morning to say, "I'm just checking on you to see how you are today." Think of those guardian angels in human flesh that are all over the place, supporting and helping us in this journey that we are on. That individual who always fills and nourishes our souls with the right words. That person who revives us when we just can't revive ourselves. Has someone been a good shepherd to you lately? This was the question I posed to our brothers and sisters this morning or this afternoon in the breakout session. I said to them, "Has someone been a good shepherd to you?" And someone in Italy responded to me, and she said, "Reverend Lansford, you all at Methodist Central Hall Westminster have been a good shepherd to one another and to us here." And she also mentioned to say, "You, the ministers at Methodist Central Hall Westminster, you've been good shepherds to us." If someone has been a good shepherd to you, my challenge to you this week is that you can be a good shepherd to someone else. You can be the one who offered guidance, the one who will protect, who will nourish, who will feed others with kind words, the one who will set a table of hospitality in difficult places for others. This week, you can be the reviver. This week, you can be the one that lifts somebody up who is down, who is at the lowest ebb, with words, praying for them. You can do that. You could be the good shepherd this week. My message today is a call for us all to go. To go and be good shepherds to others out there, gently leading those stumbling in the dark to Jesus, the risen one. And finally, in that monologue, perhaps with the Pharisees all listening attentively to what Jesus was saying to them, Jesus spoke of other sheep who are not yet in the fold, those who are yet to come to know Jesus Christ, indicating his inclusive love for all people. He desires to draw and to bring all men and all women to himself, into his fold, under his loving, caring, and protection. As Methodist, our views of salvation stretches far and wide. It is an all-embracing, an all-inclusive theology. We believe that on the cross, Jesus Christ died for all people, and therefore no one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one is beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. No one is beyond maintenance. No one is a write-off in the sight of God. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And perhaps you haven't made up your mind yet. You are still in the camp of the undecided, the camp of those who said, I'm not quite sure whether I want to say I'm a Christian or not. I'm not quite sure whether this Jesus thing is for me. Perhaps I'm saying to you, why not consider it today? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed, and you might not have the chance. It's not a threat. It's a fact. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this to you with all passion. There's so many people with good intentions who said, oh, I'm going to do this for you tomorrow. I'll do this for you next week. I'll do this for this person. I'll do that. We procrastinate. We put things one way after the other. We push it another day. And all of a sudden, you wake up. That person is no longer there for the rest of your life. Tell me what will happen to you. You regret it. You pinch yourself. Why didn't I be a good shepherd to this person? I knew he was going through a tough time. I knew she was going through a tough time. Why didn't I do it? Tomorrow might be too late for you to be a good shepherd to someone. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Do it the day after. And that's what our brothers and sisters as well said in the breakout group when I was talking to them earlier. Someone said, Lansford, if you've got to do something for someone, if you've got to lift someone up, if God has laid in your heart to pray for someone, don't wait. Do it today. Because tomorrow might just be too late. So describing his relationship with his God, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He can be your shepherd today, right here, right now, in this place. And when he does, you will have an automatic full spiritual cover of protection. When we buy a car, when we buy a house, when we buy a nice big shiny TV, we are quick to cover them with insurance. Just in case something goes wrong, then help is at hand. Friends, my message to you this morning is that you are more valuable than a house. You are more valuable than a car. You are more valuable than a shiny TV. Why not cover your life today with a comprehensive spiritual cover that Jesus gives to all those who will come in the presence of the Good Shepherd, all those who would acknowledge him and go deeper with him? Why not cover your life today by making Jesus the shepherd of your life? Romans chapter 10, verse 13, as I close, says these words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And so as we ponder on the words of the Good Shepherd, as we prepare ourselves to come to the table to receive bread and wine, let us be reminded of the depth of his love for us and the sacrifice he made for each and every one of us. Let us listen to his voice, respond to his call, follow his lead, and spread to this whole world the love that God has for the world. The good news today is this. And I hope this good news will make you excited. Because I've got one of my daughters, whenever she calls me, she starts with these words. Daddy, guess what? And then the next thing that comes after that, I've got good news for you. And she gets me excited already. I'm already excited when she said, I've got good news for you. And the other day when she said, I've got good news for you, I said, well, then what is the good news? She said, I was going to ask you to loan me money to pay my rent. It's quite a lot of money, but I did some work and I've been paid, so I'm only going to ask you for £100. So that's the good news. I don't know how that's the good news for me, but that was a good news. I was going to ask you for a lot, but I'm only going to ask you for £100 alone so I can pay my rent. But she started with what? Good news. And this is the good news I have today for you, and I hope it makes you excited. And it is this: in the presence of the Good Shepherd, which is the title of my sermon today, Psalm 23, verse 6 tells us that surely, surely, not a maybe, not perhaps, not if you are good, not if you give £2,000 to the church fundraising, which will be lovely if you can do that, but surely. And let's read together what it says on that screen. To go. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All those in the presence of the Good Shepherd, that is the good news, that goodness and love will follow you, not just today, but all the days of your life. May it be so for you as we stand now to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." We'll stand and sing, please.